You're tuned to KISD, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, dial 123, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, two. Always keep your dial set right, that's right,
on 123,
morning, noon, or night, KISD, Sioux Falls.
It's been a long time since you were on the show. I mean, I'm going to look back here. The last show came out in February, and you weren't on that one.
No, I don't think I've been on the last two or three.
No, you weren't on 21. You were on 20, so it was December the last time you were on a Bigfoot show.
Jeez.
That's a long time.
That's about the last time something interesting happened in the Bigfoot world.
Exactly. Yeah, so anyway, Scott is on the trail and supposedly in an area soon where he'll be able to talk to us. So I'm waiting to hear from him. He may send us a message here at some point. And if we can, we'll get him on. If we can't, we will soldier on without him.
We'll assume a bear's got him or something.
Something. See, now my phone says there's no service. Fantastic. Yeah, so anyway, the last time... Since, you know, you said that it's been a long time since anything interesting happened, and now we have a whole brand new TV show to talk about. The Finding Bigfoot show.
Which I think is possibly the worst title ever. Trying to find, my personal favorite was Not Finding Bigfoot.
Looking for Bigfoot would be sort of, you know, truth in advertising, right? I mean,
I'm beginning to think that when they advertise TV shows, they have to pay by the word. So if they can shorten the title down to two words, then they'll do that.
It's funny because, you know, it seems like it's modeled on Ghost Hunters if you're familiar with that show. But of course, they couldn't say Bigfoot Hunters because that would sound like they're actually hunting Bigfoot,
hunting.
Right? Yeah. We don't want to suggest that.
I've only watched a couple of episodes of Ghost Hunters. We have a very similar show over here called Most Haunted, which is the same model, only with English people rambling around old houses that creak and you know, there's something here being said every episode. I think there's something here.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Did you hear that? Yeah, it's the same show. And do you know what? I only occasionally see that Most Haunted show. Very occasionally. If I happen to be sat in front of the TV and I've eaten a big meal and a few beers and I can't be bothered to get up to find the TV remote and it's just on. And that's the only time I ever see it. Which happens about four times a week. No. But I never know which episode, because they're all the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm convinced that I've seen some episodes several times when I haven't.
And, you know, this is the thing I was going to say about Ghost Hunters, is that when it first came out, it was very entertaining. It was, you know, I don't know what the heck they're finding or what's happening, but it was fun to watch. But, you know, now, and this show has been on for a long time now, and it's like it's the same thing every time. And, of course... I don't know. It becomes a bit repetitive, and of course that would be, you know, I suppose the worst case scenario for Finding Bigfoot, that after several 9-10 years, right? I mean, I think that's how long Ghost Hunters has been on. It'll just go, oh, they're in the woods again. Oh yeah, Bobo thinks he sees a Bigfoot again. You know, I mean, at what point does it just become?
I think that's the key to it. At most, I think they could probably go to two seasons, maybe three at a push. But if they haven't found something substantial by the middle of the second season, then people will turn off.
Yeah.
But in many ways, with this sort of show, it doesn't matter.
No.
What we have to remember is that it's entertainment. It's not science. It's entertainment.
Exactly.
And that's the purpose. And with the best will in the world, the TV studios aren't there for the benefit of science. They're there for entertainment. So all they have to do is do enough episodes that they can put on rotation so they can keep selling advertising.
And I think this is it. You know, the response that I've seen online to this show is either you're absolutely in love with it because of the people who are involved, and okay, fine, or you absolutely hate it because of the people who are involved. I mean, it's like one or the other.
in fairness, I fit somewhere in the middle of that.
Yeah.
I have no particular affinity with any of the people involved. Moneymaker and I don't think we've exchanged an email in about 9 years now. We've never seen eye to eye.
Well, you're quite a bit taller than he is.
Bobbo, I don't think I've heard from him since the Bob Gimlin Love Fest a couple of years back. The Renee or whatever her name
is,
I've never heard of her.
I've never heard of her either. I think that she must have been brought in by the show to be
She's there. Well, it doesn't really matter whether she's real BFRO or there for the show. Have you ever seen Jesse Ventura's Conspiracy Theory?
No, I can't say that I have.
Oh, it's a very similar model. They have a conspiracy theory that somebody brings to the table. Well, let's go there then. And they have one girl who's an English girl, a very attractive black woman. She's the skeptical voice. And every single episode, she's the one that has the skeptical line that she needs to read
right.
for the purpose of demonstrating that there's somebody in the show that's keeping their head screwed on, even though clearly it's a script and she's got no idea what she's doing there. She probably never even knew who Jesse Ventura was until she got the part. You look at her bio, she's an actress. She's not an investigator, but she's there to be the skeptical view, and that's the line she does every single time. And clearly the producers thought we need a skeptical, reasonable person, and yeah, if she's real BFRO, and I've no reason to doubt it, then they found quite a good person to put in there.
I don't think she is. I mean, and it doesn't really matter to me, I suppose. But I don't think she's BFRO. She doesn't smell, walk, or talk like BFRO to me. I've never heard of her, which is not to say that I've heard of everyone in the BFRO. That's clearly not the case. But I mean, her name is I don't know anyone who has ever heard of her. So it seems to me that she was cast. I think she's got like a degree. I think she's like a real person. She's I don't think she's quite just an actress, but.
Wouldn't that be great if they decided that Matt Moneymaker was too difficult to work with and they CGI'd him for the whole series?
I just think she's the person who is representing the viewer at home going, what are you talking about? Right? I mean, she's the sort of sensible.
I mean, I actually think let's put my cards on the table here. I think from a point of view of somebody that has an interest in Bigfoot and knows a thing or two about what's been done over the years, what hasn't been done, and who everybody are. I think it's an appalling show. But I'm not the audience.
No.
And it's not a show that's designed for me. Much like, I mean, we had this conversation about Lauren Coleman's book. That book was not written for someone like me.
Right.
But I still think it's a very good book for the average Joe. And this show, I think, it falls into that category. It's if you're the average Joe sitting at home, you've got a vaguely passing interest in the subject. It's an interesting show to watch. It's entertaining.
Oh, sure.
You get to see people fall over, which is always good in television. bit of thermal camera work of deer in the distance. It's entertaining enough to last a season or two. I posted a couple of times about this. From that point of view, I don't see the harm necessarily in the show. If it gets people interested in the subject, sure, the BFRO will be the biggest beneficiaries of this. But the other various groups around the country, I mean, and you know the various alphabetic spaghetti groups, they'll all benefit from people saying, "Oh, there's a group here in Kansas."
Yeah, sure.
Let's go and talk to them. Get involved. So,
is there a group in Kansas?
There is, and I can't for the life of me think what it's called now. But there is
Kansas Bigfoot Research Organization.
Something like that. I can't remember what they're called, and so I'm not going to make any disparaging remarks about Kansas not having any
Bigfoot.
Well, do you know? In fairness, I've never been there. I shouldn't
to Kansas.
Comment. No.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever been to Kansas. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I think that
of course, my alternate identity of Superman has.
Of course, yeah, you look just like Superman. It's uncanny how much like Superman you look. I think that I completely agree that the show isn't for you or I don't think the show is for anyone who listens to this show, really.
No.
I think it's for people who just are kind of getting off on this Sasquatch exploitation kind of thing, you know, where
which means what we should do is backtrack a bit, edit this conversation out, and start again and sound like every other Bigfoot podcast on the internet and just slate the show for the next 90 minutes.
You know what, so I'm gonna say, so we look at the four principles. You have Matt Moneymaker, who, yeah, I to say that we don't see eye to eye, yeah, I can't even see where he's looking, right? You got this Renee person who I think is interesting, but I've never heard of her before. He's great fun. You know, I like Bobo. He seems like a nice guy. The whole Gimlin Love Fest thing aside, Bobo's an interesting fellow to hang out with.
My problem with the way they're depicting Bobo, and I've never met him. But
he's not the way he is on the show.
I got the impression that they're almost deliberately making him look stupid.
Hmm.
And he's clearly not.
No.
But they're portraying him in such a way that he comes across as a sort of, you know, gentle giant, lovable character, which he is. From what I've heard about him, he is. But I don't like the way he's being portrayed. And I've been involved in enough TV production over the years to know that you get a good editor and a good production crew in there, you can make anybody look the way that you want them to.
Absolutely.
And that bothers me a bit, that I'm not seeing, you know, it's almost like we need a village idiot. This is the closest we've got. And if anybody's listening to this, I don't mean, forget it.
No, we don't really think of Bobo that way, but I agree with you there.
Let's portray him as the bumbling fool, you know, the Shaggy and Scooby of the episode.
Combined, that's the yes. worst part. You know, honestly, I think it would be a better show if Matt wasn't on it. I think I like Cliff. I've hung out with Cliff, and I think that he's an interesting fellow. And I think that I'd much rather see Cliff and Renee kind of go at it with Bobo playing, you know, the guy who pretends to be Bigfoot when they need someone to stand in for scale. I don't really see what Matt's adding to the production except making my nails feel like they're going across chalkboards.
He does very good continuity between the scenes. He speaks very clearly. He's very presentable. And he does the continuity bit, you know. Well, that's exactly what Bigfoot looked like. That's exactly what they smell like.
Yes. Well, that's my...
I've never seen one, but this is exactly what we know about them.
And did he actually say that they have black noses like dogs? He said that, right?
I think that might have been in the third episode, which I haven't seen yet. You've got to bear in mind it's not being broadcast over here, so I'm.
Yeah, and I've only seen the first.
Catching
three.
The lesson when I can.
I've only seen the first three. I know, and I absolutely. If this were a real program and I were a real host, I would have done some research and I would have watched the fourth episode, which was centered around Mike Green's thermal video. But I haven't seen that one yet. So I've only seen three, and you've seen one or two.
I've seen the first two. I have the third one sitting here on the hard drive, and I was planning on watching it just before we came on. I thought I really ought to watch this afternoon, but I ran out of time, and I've been on a bit of a mercy mission to rescue a duckling that fell off a wall.
That sounds like a children's book. The duckling that fell off the wall.
The duckling that fell off the wall. I was just staring out of my office earlier today, and this mother walks across the car park with all her ducklings behind it. Where she's going, I don't know, because there's no water in the direction she was going. And this little one got left behind and fell off the wall.
Oh. What do you do with a duck like that?
Don't know. I had two choices.
You're going to find out.
I had two choices. I suddenly thought about... I was just talking about Bigfoot, and I thought, well, you know, survival of the fittest.
Sure.
I should just stomp on it with a size 40. And then it occurred to me that out of the two of us, I am definitely not the fittest. So into a cardboard box at home. It went home. Wife, look after this, and I came back here.
Oh, I see. So you've basically just foisted it off onto her. She's going to have to figure it out now.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. So anyway, the individual things on the so which episode you have not seen the Georgia episode, which
no.
is one of the most I think well so no wait no wait wait which ones have you seen?
The
first one
and the Florida one.
The Florida one. So let's talk about the Florida one. At the end, this is where I'm going to separate like the four main people in the show. And the producers of the show, because the producers of the show, I just want to club, you know. At the end of that thing, when they're standing in the Everglades or whatever it is, and Matt's got the thermal imager out, and Bobo's got a thermal imager out, and Bobo's walking up. Was it Bobo? And then he's walking up to like whatever that thing is. It is clearly some kind of four-legged creature, a deer probably, you know, because there's only like a bazillion of those in North America, right? And they make it look like they don't know what it is, or it's just like the whole thing. It just makes you want to pick up something heavy and hurl it at your television set. And that's not the fault of the people who are on the show, because to your point, that's been edited that way. They've been edited to make it look like, oh, what's that? When they knew what it was. I mean, Bobo was standing like 15 feet from it with a thermal imager. He knew exactly what that stupid thing was when he got up to it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so maddening.
And I tell you what I thought was interesting about that is that Bobo looked like he was all the same color in the thermal imager.
Hmm.
There was no pants are darker than his jacket or anything like this.
Maybe he was naked.
Oh, I don't want to think like that. That's an image I'm going to struggle
maybe
with.
Maybe he's like, I'm going to strip down. I'm going to approach this squatch and I'm going to do so on his turf. I'm going to strip down. And maybe that'll make him, you know, more inclined to have some sort of interaction.
That'll make him grow an extra two legs.
And run off on all four of them, yeah. And so what did you think of the folks that, the like the handprint on the you know, those folks that had the suspicious handprint and the dented bit of their fence and the smashed up bird feeder? What did you think of all that?
I don't know. I've got to say, I always have difficulty with shows like this that are American, and I don't mean this from a superior point of view.
Well, to be honest, an English Bigfoot show would be very boring.
It would. It would. But what you need to appreciate is that the average English person wouldn't want to be on a show like that. If I had had a Bigfoot come around my house and stick its arm through the door, the last thing I would want to do is appear on national television. But Americans are very different creatures. That you grow up with television in a way that we didn't. Mm. And we see this when we see sort of news shows and things, and they interview some six-year-old kid. They're always very articulate and very smart. They know how to perform for a camera. When in America, if you go to I don't know, a town in England and stick a microphone in front of a six-year-old, they'll probably try and hit it or eat it. You won't find many kids as able to perform in front of a camera.
So you think there's just a little bit of showmanship going on there with those folks?
This is what I'm saying. I don't know, because you know, when I look at Americans and the way they're so happy to go out on TV and tell world how miserable they are in front of Jerry Springer, the people that do that over here on those sort of shows are the worst possible people you would ever want to meet. And you don't tend to find people as sort of open and articulate as that on TV, because that's just not who we are. So I don't know. I've got to ask what sort of person would want to go on a show and say Bigfoot came around my house and tried to get in through the front door.
Yeah.
They will. I mean, let's face it. If you did that, you'd be ridiculed at work for the rest of your life, and you'd be ridiculed with all of your customers.
Well, I wouldn't be ridiculed at work because I'd be ridiculed behind my back. If they ridiculed me to my face, I'd fire them, and then they wouldn't do that. But behind my back, yeah, they'd be making fun of me, I suppose. Especially since the collection of things that were happening. Oh, I have a voicemail from Scott. Hold on a second. The collection of things that were happening were sort of circumstantial, you know? I mean, there was nothing there was nothing clear. There was that sort of, like, you know, vaguely foot-shaped impression that they cast. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, and even that wasn't fantastic because it was like...
I think we need a new name for vaguely foot-shaped depressions in the ground. I don't know.
I'm going to try. I have a voicemail from Scott.
We're going to call them Voog Prints from now on or something.
I'm going to try calling Scott because he's left me two voicemails, but my cell phone doesn't work very well up here, so hold on a second. This is going to be painful, I can tell already.
We can edit this bit out.
The new Skype, I'm not going to edit this part out. The new Skype sucks, donkey. I hate it. They've changed the interface, and it makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if I'm getting Scott here. See, and now... Okay, it's calling him. Excellent. Isn't this exciting? Will he answer the phone? His voicemail probably says, "Don't call me, I'm sleeping," or something.
Hi, I'm not in right now, so please leave a message. I'll get back.
Oh, that didn't work out so well.
Okay, here's a quick question for you.
Yes.
It's a cell phone.
What is? His?
Yeah, you've just called his cell phone.
Yes.
I'm not in right now.
That's a good point. I believe that was a cell... I'm almost positive that was his cell phone. I only have two numbers for him. That's a very good point. I'm not in right now. What? You're not in your skin? I mean, where are you exactly? So anyway, getting back to this, to the Florida thing, yeah, I totally agree with you that it would be different if there was something that, you know, if they saw something. I don't remember them saying they saw anything. I think they heard some interesting things and that sort of thing. But did they actually? They didn't actually see a Bigfoot, to my recollection. So it is sort of a red flag to begin with. Some of the things that they say happened are very intriguing. So, you know, I think that I more or less agree with some of the things that were being said on the show, specifically by Cliff. It is an interesting situation. I don't know that I would go so far as to say they definitely had Bigfoot hanging around. And now here's where I'm not sure I can ever trust the producers of the show, because the part where, you know, they've got Renee off in the woods and Matt and Cliff are walking around and Bobo's back on the deck and Bobo's starting to see something and he's so engaged with what he sees in the thermal imager, he loses track of where he is and he falls off the porch, which is, you know, that's dangerous. It's dark, right? I mean, I totally agree with you. They're trying to make him look like he's bumbling, but I felt bad for him because, I mean, clearly that could mess a guy up. But anyway, that was like, oh my gosh, what is that? I'm thinking. But then on the other hand, it's like, I can't trust these people. It could have been that they identified it as nothing and they just didn't edit it that way. So, like, how are we as you know, quote unquote, serious Bigfoot people supposed to trust a show like this? I don't think we can. So I think it just sort of circles back to what we said at the beginning. This is nothing but entertainment. And if you try to treat it as anything other than that, I think you're just going to frustrate yourself.
And that, I think, is the difference between Matt Moneymaker and me. In that,
there's just that one difference.
I wouldn't have agreed to be on a show like that. And yeah, I'm sure there's people that are saying, "Oh yeah, but you weren't asked." Yeah, I wasn't asked. But I backed out of that Definitive Guide to Bigfoot show like there was no tomorrow when I was first talking to them, because the way they wanted to portray this show, and actually the show turned out different to what they told me they were trying to do, but I just wasn't happy with the direction it was going in. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't want anything to do with this."
What direction did they tell you it was going in?
They were very insistent that they wanted to portray the supernatural aspects of Bigfoot.
Really?
The speed, the size of jumps, the super strength, and this sort of thing. And I thought, no, you either do a serious show or you know. Or we part company, and we parted company. And in the end, actually, quite a reasonable show. Right. Without me, obviously.
Yeah, I didn't think that was
But But there's the thing. I'm not trying to sell anything. If I was trying to sell something,
absolutely,
I would have absolutely been on that show, and I'd have tried to get into the, you know, on screen as much as possible. And for better or for worse, the BFRO, Matt Moneymaker in particular, is trying to sell his organization.
Right.
He has something to sell, and this is the perfect show for him. See, he's wanted this for years.
I think you just nailed it too.
And I can't criticize him for that. If I was in his position, that's exactly what I would do.
Right. Right. I mean, he definitely has a business interest in being portrayed as a guy who successfully finds Bigfoot, you know, pretty much whenever he goes out to find him. The little bit, there was a production company that was interested in doing something with the TBRC. So I have just the tiniest bit of experience with this. But so for one weekend, we were out in what they call Area X there in Oklahoma. And Oklahoma. Yeah, Oklahoma. And what I found is that you simply... And these are great people. The people who are on the field, in the field, on the ground with us, they were fantastic. Every single one of them, they were a pleasure to be with. They weren't mocking anybody. They were totally into it. But when we saw the little teaser that they came back with, I mean, they basically, to your earlier point, they used editing to turn us into characters, right? So the thing is, you can't really trust that any producer, any show, is going to do it the way that you would like them to do it. And so therefore, you know, I totally agree with you. The only people who should be interested in going and doing these kind of shows are people who are trying to, you know, further their own interests in such that maybe they want to be, you know, thought of as professional cryptozoologists, or they want to sell a ecotourism service or something like that. But if you're interested in actually solving the mystery of Bigfoot, do not, capital D, capital N, do not get involved in a TV show, because it's not going to help you. It will only hurt you, I think. And I think that's what we're finding Bigfoot is a classic example of that. A fun, entertaining show that is never, ever, ever going to do what the title says it's going to do.
Yeah. I mean, my most recent experience with a TV production company they came to see me in a professional manner. I did some work for them, computer forensics work. They came to interview me on camera at our offices, and they thought, oh, these offices are great. We can light this up, and the office was going to look great. We were in the sort of pre-planning stage, and I was showing them the data that we'd located on these particular computers. It was a very serious show. It was a how best to describe it? It's a sort of consumer protection show. And we were working on the legal side of one of these legal cases involving downloading material off BitTorrents, using BitTorrents. We'd done some examinations of computers that belonged to people who had been, they claimed, wrongfully fitted up by the law firm. And the software that we show is really dull. I mean, it's like, if you can imagine a really dull version of Microsoft Excel.
Right.
That's what we work with. That's our tool of the trade. It does, from our point of view, it's really techy, does wonderful things, but it looks dull. So the first thing they said is, well, when we come to interview you, you could make the computer screen there do something really interesting and matrixy. Interesting and matrixy. And when he said that, he wiggled his fingers to represent the hex coming down
the falling tree,
the falling hex. And I said, no. He said, no, it would look really good. I said, no. He said, well, why not? Nobody will notice. I said, yeah, my competitors will be sat at home pissing themselves on the sofa when they see that. I am not doing it. And I could do that because I was in that position, and they would be very foolish to sort of to go away and fake some, you know, some screen behavior behind me. But I wouldn't have put it past them. In a show like Finding Bigfoot, it's really easy to edit it the way you want it to, because during the course of the filming, and there will probably be, they'll be recording probably 4 or 5 times more material than goes into the show.
Oh, easily,
The guys there are going to say things off-camera, exactly. In rehearsal, that they wouldn't want people to hear them say. I'm not entirely sure that I buy this bit about Matt saying that he was reading through the lines and they recorded him reading it. Maybe he just loves the sound of his own voice, so he has to read it out loud. I learned how to read quietly when I was 5 years old. but maybe Matt can't do that. He has to hear his own voice. I don't know. I don't buy that bit. I think that's what was in the script. That's what he wanted to say, and that's what got recorded. But with everything else, it's entertainment. I can't criticize it too much.
No.
It's a TV show. No. That's what TV shows do.
Do you get Destination Truth over there? Do you watch that?
We get it over here. I have never seen it.
Oh, well, they do the same thing with the screens. You know, what they'll do is they'll go out in the field and they collect this stuff and they edit it to make it look like they're only there for one night, even though they've flown literally halfway around the world to get to wherever it is they're going. They spend a night, right? Which is, you know, cannot be true. They cannot actually be doing that. But in any event, they come back and they're sitting in their little analysis lab and they've got these computer screens going and they're analyzing video or edit or sound or whatever. And behind them in this little editing bay, which is what it is, there's all these monitors set up and they're all doing this matrixy stuff. Like, and it's like, what the hell is that back there? You know, what exactly is that thing? I mean, it's nothing. It's just eye candy. You know, and they do the same thing on Finding Bigfoot where they have the you know, the night vision cameras, the up your nose sort of Autumn Williams style night vision cameras. Remember that show? Remember the Autumn Williams?
Yes.
They had, yeah. Anyway, and then they like overlay it with like this like blinking red light, you know, VCR kind of security cam kind of crap over the top of it to make it look a little more high tech, right? I mean, the whole thing is just, it's like, what exactly? Anyway, like it doesn't really add anything
But the thing is that I'm sure most of the people that watch those sort of shows know. Most of the people that watch these shows have got camcorders. They know that when you play it back, you don't have to show the little play button and the timer and the little flashing battery symbol. You don't have to do that. So
I think
this is all added on for effect to say, you know, this is. You know, this is a camcorder footage, but it's all shite.
But we're, I mean, also it's... we are part of. We're part of the act, right? I mean, there's when you go to a play or when you watch a movie, there's a willing suspension of disbelief, and that's exactly what happens on these shows. And I'm afraid, quite a bit in just this whole field of Sasquatchery to begin with, there's a suspension of disbelief that happens. You know, when and I think that's it's the producers play off that, and we go along with it as an audience as a whole. Not saying you or I specifically, but as an audience, we go along with it because you know what? It's great fun. It's just it's
like me sitting down and watching 24, and having Jack Bauer trace somebody, you know, monitor somebody using GPS going across the Los Angeles Underground. you know, to the best of my knowledge, GPS receivers have to see satellites.
That's true. Now, I've never watched. I have to say, I've never watched an episode of 24. But I've always wondered, like, are there like every episode is supposed to be an hour in this dude's day? Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, are there like 4 or 6 hours where they just show him sleeping in bed, or does he not sleep for 24 hours?
He doesn't sleep for 24 hours. Neither does he go to the toilet or recharge his mobile phone.
I see. Okay, fine. I understand.
My particular bugbear with that show, apart from the amazing GPS, and for the record, it is possible to use ground receivers. I'm sure there's going to be somebody out there listening to this. It's like, oh, you don't always need to see the sky. You can use ground receivers. Yes, you can. But it generally speaking, it helps if you can see the sky. My favourite is when he shoots somebody, and he retrieves their mobile phone or cell phone. Most of our audience is American. I should call them cell phones.
Yes, thank you.
And he takes it to the back of his car, and there he's got this mobile phone forensics kit all set up, and it has one cable that plugs into the phone of the guy he's just shot. Now, I do mobile phone forensics for a living. On average, I carry 87 cables with me. And you always find it's not the cable you want you know, it's always a different cable that
yes.
you need.
Yes.
yes. But this is the point. Even though I know this is shit, and I still love it, and I'll still watch it, and I'll excuse all of the mistakes that they're making because it's entertainment.
Right.
And I think we, to a certain extent, you know, from what I've seen posted online, and to maybe what we're doing here, we're being overcritical of this show. We are not the intended audience. Well, and even if we are, we should just treat it as fun. What harm does it really do? Yes, okay, it's not science, but at the end of the day, if it gets more people interested in the subject, that can only be a good thing, can't it?
I'm trying to be realistically critical. I absolutely agree with you. I don't want to sit here and sound like we're taking it too seriously. Because, you know, I at the end of the day, I like and respect Cliff. I like Bobo. I think he's a great guy to hang out with, you know, and I know a lot of my friends are very, very close to both of these guys. So it's like, it is what it is. But I guess I'm just trying to be like realistic. Does it do any damage? I think the only damage it does, and maybe I think this is why a lot of people hate it so much, is, and I don't think that most people do. I'm just saying that a lot of people are very sort of vociferous in their criticism of the show. I think that it tends to put people who do this seriously in a bad light, because people they know now think that they're like the people on this show, perhaps.
Yeah, I guess is the problem with the show. If you can narrow it down to one issue, that probably is that it doesn't portray Bigfoot researchers in a particularly good
light. And because now it makes them all look like Matt Moneymaker, who I think is a bit of a fool, right? So this guy says, oh, I think there's a Squatch in these woods. Like, why? Why do you think there's a Squatch in the woods? Because you're in the woods and it's dark and you think there's a Squatch there, right? I mean, this guy has never heard a Bigfoot story he didn't like. I think, you know, so what are they doing wrong? They're making everyone think, because, you know, you go back to ghost hunters. I don't know any ghost hunters really all that well. I've never been on a ghost hunt. I've never done any of those things. So I assume that the two guys on Ghost Hunters are like the best of the best when it comes to ghost hunting. That's probably not true. I have no idea if it is. But now if I'm in a similar situation, some guy sitting at home, I've never been out looking for Bigfoot. I've never been in the woods, right? I've never camped in my life. And I'm looking at Matt Moneymaker, and he's in charge of the BFRO. Wow, they must all be like that, right? And I think if there is a criticism, it's that. And why that guy? You know, why do they? I mean, they want to look at Cliff. If they want to throw Cliff up there as like everybody, I'm totally cool with that. Cliff and I do not see eye to eye on a lot of things. But it doesn't matter to me, because I think Cliff is a serious dude doing serious work. I would have no problem being lumped in with Cliff. I have a huge problem being lumped in with Matt Moneymaker, and that's just because I know him so well, and I think he's kind of a doofus. And that's that.
Yeah, I don't dislike it enough to stop watching it.
Oh, Lord, no. I'm going to keep watching
it. But on the other hand, I slow down for car wrecks, so.
Yeah, no, I'll keep watching it. You have to watch it. There's no way you can't watch it.
I'm not sure, and this is the crux of it. I'm not sure that I would want to show it to somebody who registered an interest in the subject.
Right.
I would show them a number of documentaries. Right. I would even show them $6 Million Man episodes. I'm not sure I would want to show them this.
Some of the people I've talked to about this or exchanged emails about. I mean, that's a very good point. It's like, well, some of my friends, you know, one of my friends has said this, like some people have asked me if they should watch it, and I tell them, no, 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 please don't. And I think that's, you know, that's not so good, because obviously we don't want to be embarrassed, right?
Yeah, it's entertainment, not science. I would be happier with it if there was a little bit more skepticism in there.
Totally.
The Florida episode, and you've got the fence post. It's not a, well, maybe, just maybe, if there was a Bigfoot here, it leant on this fence post in order to help itself jump over the fence. That's not the way it's said or presented or edited. What's said is, oh, well, it obviously put its hand here while it jumped over the fence. That's why it's dented and it was clearly a Bigfoot. I couldn't do that. I couldn't knock over this bird feeder thing. Oh, Bobo says I could, and he does.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the thing that bothers me, and it's something that's not unique to Bigfoot researchers. I see it all the time with any sort of paranormal researcher. Too many assumptions are made far too often, and skeptics get criticized because you do get the type of skeptic that is a raving skeptic and doesn't believe anything.
Yes.
And they give skeptics the sort of bad name that a lot of Bigfoot researchers give Bigfoot researchers.
Right.
There's a happy medium where you should be skeptical of everything. And I think I've been fairly consistent about this in all my years of an interest in the subject. I haven't seen one, and I haven't yet seen enough evidence to make me, quote unquote, believe that Bigfoot exists. I want to see more evidence. I think there's enough evidence to show that it's a subject worthy of investigation. But that's a far step away from we know what Bigfoot looks like. We know they've got a language. I don't know what happened to that comment. That was a few years back. we know they've got dog type noses. We know they've
got big I've heard that. Yeah.
We know that they've got big wide eyes and they're always a dark brown. I'm sorry. That's a huge leap away. We don't know anything. And I don't know how often people have to say this. When it comes to the subject of Bigfoot, we don't actually know anything. We can speculate to our heart's content, but let's call it what it is. It's speculation. We don't actually know anything. And we don't even know if there's anything to know. Obviously, there are people out there that, as far as they're concerned, they've seen one, they exist. I'm not in that situation. So if that's what they think they've seen, or if that's what they've seen, fine. I haven't. Convince me.
I think that where we tend to disagree is I'm in the same boat you are in that I've not seen anything. But I do think there's enough evidence to accept that these things are probably out there. You know, I guess am I going to go so far as to say I believe? I don't want to get hung up on it. Yeah, I believe, but I don't believe in that way. It isn't faith for me, and I think that
Are you comfortable where you are, Brian? Because that fence, I tell you, it looks a bit sharp from where
I'm good.
Sitting.
I'm good with the fence. I have no problem saying that there's something out there. I've talked to enough
people who say you believe that there's enough evidence that there's probably something there.
I absolutely believe that. And but that being said, there's still a happy medium between accepting too much and acknowledging that not everything we think we know can we know, because obviously we can't really know a lot. We can know what we think their feet look like, right? I mean, but again, to your point, we haven't actually got a foot, so we can't know if we're right. We don't know if some of the things that we think are real are actually hoaxes or whatever. I tend to agree with you in spirit. I just think that in practicality, I am comfortable saying that I think it's out there just because I think that the preponderance of evidence suggests that it is. But that doesn't mean that I'm, you know, moneymaker-esque and believe everything. Or the scene in the maybe you haven't seen this one yet, the one where they're in they're in Georgia and they're talking.
No.
You have to see this. This is gonna like just sort of cement all of your worst stereotypes of Americans, right? They bring these folks in, and I'm probably gonna.
Oh, I have a few, Brian.
I'm sure you do. So they bring in these folks from in northern Georgia where they are, and they've got these folks standing around giving like sitting in this little like you know town square wherever they are, relating stories, and some of these people are just fantastic character study. Anyway, I think there's the difference between like just bringing people into a place like that and hearing their stories and sort of like nodding your head the whole time going, wow, I can't believe it was 9 feet tall, right? That kind of thing, versus accepting that some of the evidence is good and valid.
If you are not seen to be proactively filtering good evidence from bad, and just accepting everything. Oh, it was 58 feet tall, and it had and it had blue eyes and glasses.
Right.
If you don't filter out some of this rubbish and not seem to be, well, okay, that's a nice story, but, you know, then, you know, you start looking stupid because you look like somebody, even if you're not inside, you look like somebody that believes everything at face value.
Right. You know,
likewise, I don't remember if it was the first episode or the second episode, where Moneymaker was seen to be dismissing somebody because it didn't conform to his idea of what
they looked. The bald guy.
Bearing in mind that Moneymaker's never seen one.
Right. And then they edited it so that as soon as Moneymaker says on the show that he's not sure that this guy is telling him the truth, they start editing the guy. They start showing like these sort of sideway looks from him.
Yeah.
And they start making him look shifty. Yeah. Right? He may not have looked in any way suspicious. He may not have sounded, you know, like he was like, anyway. Yeah, totally. I thought that was pretty rich too. I would
love to be a fly on the wall in the production office when they're editing this, just to hear the conversations that are going on as to, well, how should we make this guy look? Oh, let's edit it this way. Yeah, I think a lot of this is clearly in the editing. And I think you've got to expect it. I would imagine Moneymaker's done enough television to expect this. But it's not going to hurt BFRO in any way, shape, or form.
No,
so,
no, it's great for, you know, BFRO. It's fantastic.
It's good for them.
It's a huge
The thing that bothered me about the first episode is this town hall meeting in Georgia, where they're asking people, have they seen anything in the area where this video cam footage was, this dash cam.
Oh, that's the same. That's the same episode. Right?
Yeah.
They're in this little, like, you know, weirdly themed town.
Yes, that one.
Yeah, right.
Not once in the episode did they ever mention the police officer that was in the car.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem, isn't it?
There's talk about the police officer locating students in the area that had a gorilla suit.
Right.
Well,
the sheriff in that town says that he got the kids and he got the suit.
Yeah, that didn't make it onto the show.
No.
And it should do. It should be objective.
Absolutely.
And why not invite the sheriff along to the town hall meeting?
Well, if
he refused to go, then say.
I'd very much like to know the sequence of events here because, you know, when that video came out and when the sheriff's... I'm just unclear on the chronology. I don't know. It could be possible that they were in there prior to the sheriff saying this. It's hard to say on these things. It looked cold when they were filming
I've no doubt that the sheriff could have said this after they left, but they
should have edited it in because it clearly came out after they'd already invested in being there, right?
But while they were there, did they not go and interview the sheriff?
The cop that was driving the car is, yeah.
Or the cop that was driving the car.
Right. No, they just talked to the woman.
Yeah. And that doesn't sound right to me. That sounds, let's just get what we want out of this rather than get to the bottom of the matter.
Sure.
If they did and they rolled up at the sheriff's station and the officer didn't want to talk, I want to see that in the show.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that would have made a very good segment in the show.
Yeah, I do have questions about that myself.
Which makes me think that they didn't do it or they heard something that they didn't want to hear.
Right. It didn't fit the narrative they were trying to
indeed
to portray. The other thing that I thought was interesting is when they did a fine recreation of the dash cam video with Bobo standing in as usual as the Bigfoot, right? And
do you have health and safety laws in
oh my United god States? Right, I mean, he's running in front of a car going 55 miles an hour.
Do you know what we had this conversation when Toy Story 3 came out, that when they got to the incinerator scene, my little girl was bawling her eyes out and clutching my arm, and I was going to say, it's all right, they'll be okay, but it was so well done that I didn't honestly know whether they would be or not.
Right.
This was the same. I was watching
with thinking, you were sure if Bobo was going to get hit.
I was watching them and thinking, he'll be all right. They wouldn't show this if they ran him over. Do you know what?
they'd show him like rolling over the top of the car with some like, you know, cartoony sound effects, like boring.
And when they were showing it, I thought, oh, this will be a clever bit of editing, and it wasn't. Fair play to him. He
ran in front of
very
a car. Yeah.
Very brave. Has only got one functioning eye, so can't judge distance. Or was incredibly stupid.
No, what I thought was interesting is after they actually showed him say, like, that car was coming a lot faster than I thought it would. But what I thought was interesting is when you compared the two videos, and they didn't do this more than, like, once on the show, I don't think, but Bobo's speed and what I could see of motion was extraordinarily similar to what was on that video. It did not seem to me that they in any way...
In fact, it was so similar that they had to keep drawing these bouncy lines across the screen.
Yeah,
and to make it look different.
And you've got Moneymaker saying like it clearly isn't the same, and I'm thinking like, well, no, clearly it is. I think it would be great if it was a Bigfoot, but it clearly isn't. You know, it isn't. Well, all I'll say is it clearly isn't outside the range of human motion and speed, right? It could clearly have been a person in a monkey suit. And so that sort of backs up. He was really close to that car. Bobo himself said how close he was to the car, that it was closer than he thought it would be. And if you're trying to fool somebody with a monkey suit, I suppose you would wait until the last possible second to run in front of their car like that. So anyway, I totally agree that that there's a problem around that, because the sheriff in town, a deputy was driving the car, but the sheriff has come out and said that's been debunked, it was a hoax, and the show sort of just skipped over it. And I really want to know if that had been debunked prior to them being there or not, and if they knew when they were there. And then the second question would be, why didn't the producers, you know, in any way put that in there? I think because it destroyed the narrative, but that's just me being skeptical and cynical.
Well, it would sound as if the sheriff did debunk it before the show turned up.
It sounds that way. I agree with you. But I'm not clear on...
His debunking hadn't been repeated widely enough until after the show.
Right, and I'm just not clear on the chronology there.
Because we're talking about, as I understand it, a few months between the video and the show coming today.
Oh, it had to have been. What's interesting is I remember, and I don't know, again, I don't know the production schedule exactly here, but I remember when I was in California last summer, and Cliff was with us for a night or two when we were camping there in extreme Northern California. There was sort of campfire discussion that I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to, so I can't say what was said with specificity, but there was some conversation about the show at that point that it was being filmed. So I wasn't, you know, that's summer, so it could have been that they had filmed this in the previous winter, because clearly it was winter when they were there, or it could have been the winter after. I just don't know what the chronology is, so I don't know how long they had that in the can. I just don't know any of the dates, and so I agree that they probably should have come back and said something, but it's hard to criticize the guys on the ground because they may not have known about the suit, and it's just an open question in my mind.
Oh sure, yeah, but on the whole, I'm kind of looking forward to the next few episodes.
Oh sure, yeah, it's good fun.
It is good fun. It's, you know, I don't watch an awful lot of television, but it's. You know, it's there. I will hunt, especially during the summer months. American television is dire during the summer months.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be, but yeah.
So it's the perfect sort of show. As I said, I don't see what harm it can really do in the great scheme of things. I don't think Ghost Hunters or Most Haunted over here has in any way decreased the credibility of Ghost Hunters and other paranormal researchers. I'd say it's that sort of thing is more popular, certainly over here, than it's ever been. It could well get more TV crews, more film crews interested in the subject. And maybe we'll get some decent documentaries out of it.
That's what I want. I mean, I don't want reality television. I want someone to do a serious look at it, in, you know, and it's got to be the right people. You know, this definitive guide thing was not bad.
It was samey. It wasn't dissimilar to every other documentary we've seen.
It was longer. Yeah. It was like 90 minutes, but I don't know, that doesn't make it good. What was the one? There was another one this recently. Was it a Nat Geo special? There actually was a really good one recently.
There was a Nat Geo one that I haven't seen yet. I've got a copy of it here. I've just not got around to watching.
I actually quite enjoyed that one. But I mean, that's what we need is sort of a serious, you know, high profile analysis of the evidence, not more reality TV. I don't think we need any more of that. We've got plenty of that as it is.
As I said, if they don't find one, it's only going to run to two seasons.
Well, at some point. I mean, the thing about ghosts, the reason why it works for them is that what are they going to find? I mean, there isn't like they're going to catch one, right? I mean, they're not going to, like, even though they're called ghost hunters, they're not going to put one in a bottle and carry it around and show it to people. So they can keep going out.
But you could, and it's just not visible. That's the beauty of ghost hunters. You could catch one, put it in a bottle.
There
it's definitely there.
It's in the
bottle. If you can't see it, it's because your aura is not the right color.
Right. But the point being, of course, they can keep looking forever because what they get, their bounty is creaky noises, shadows on video, strange thermal hits. I mean, they can just keep getting that stuff forever. But if you're looking for Bigfoot, you're looking for Bigfoot. There is a thing. There is a hairy animal involved. And if you never find him, or never get really close to him, I suppose it's all in the editing again and how much disbelief you're willing to suspend. There's a guy who posted on our Facebook wall, and we kind of have touched on what he mentioned, but I only want to bring him up because this guy, his name is Thomas Gospel. He signed up to Facebook just so he could leave a comment on our Facebook wall. I mean, I feel like
We owe him something.
I do. So I feel like, first of all, I want to give him a shout out. Thomas Gospel, thank you for going to the effort of signing up to Facebook just so you could leave a comment on your wall. Now Mark Zuckerberg knows everything about you, where you are, what you eat, what you drink, just so you can leave a comment. I think that's fantastic.
I'm surprised Facebook didn't quote that statistic of him signing up right. when they were defending people leaving last week.
Yeah, seriously.
But we had this chap and he signed up just so he could write something.
Right. His question is, what makes us believe in Bigfoot? And we kind of have already touched on this. You're saying you don't actually believe.
I don't like the idea of belief.
Neither do I. I'm with you. That's why the only, yes.
Know, I think everybody knows that I am a raging atheist. albeit a Catholic one.
Well, that's good.
You can never quite shake off being Catholic. How best to say this without offending just about everybody?
Go ahead. better you than me.
I need to have cast iron, rock solid evidence. I don't believe in anything.
And what would that be? What would that be?
As far as Bigfoot's concerned,
yes,
a body alive or dead or a body part.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was going to be film, it would have to be extraordinary, extraordinary film. I don't think video would even hack it for me unless the video has been taken in such a way that it's forensically sound and can be evidence that it hasn't been tampered with or edited in any way, shape, or form. And certainly digital photos, in my professional life, I see so many that are edited and messed about with that I don't trust anything.
Right.
So I need to know that something exists or that something is there. And I need it evidenced. If we equate it to religion, we touch on a really dodgy subject here, as far as a lot of people are concerned. A lot of people have faith in God. That's fine.
Uh-oh. And he's not there anymore. Let's point out exactly when he got cut off. let me try to get him back here. Hold on a minute. You didn't get cut off.
No, you cut me off.
I did not cut you off.
The last thing I heard was, I don't know how far he got there, but he got cut off.
Oh, well, it said you went offline. It told me you did. And okay. I think, well, obviously what happened is you were a divine being interceding.
I was suggesting that perhaps.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I shouldn't do that.
No, you shouldn't. Anyway, continue.
But where did I get up to then?
I have no idea.
I was pointing out that I'm very respectful.
You need hard evidence, but you still have...
The point is, if we equate this to atheism, a lot of people out there have faith in God. They, as far as they're concerned, they know that God exists. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem with that, except that I don't. And I need more, I need...
It seems to me that the purpose of faith is for those types of things that cannot be proven with evidence or that cannot be proven as an absolute fact. That's why you need faith. Unless and until there is some incontrovertible sign that there is a God, right, then... all you can have is faith, and I think that it serves a very specific purpose, and I agree with you that I certainly have no problem with anyone who believes whatever they want, as long as we're talking about things that cannot be proven, and that's what faith is for. It's the definition of faith. We're talking about an animal that can be proven. So
yes.
in the area of this, I almost sound like Carl Sagan there for a minute. Billions in the area that we're talking about, there is no room for faith because it's not necessary. It either exists or it doesn't. You're either going to collect evidence or you're not. And I think that you can either sort of take one of four positions. You can blindly believe everything, which is destructive and a waste of time. You can look at the evidence and say that based on the preponderance of it, you believe it to be sufficient to suggest that there is something there. That's kind of where I sit. You can be sort of on your side, which is sort of like similar, but on the other side of the coin, saying, well, there's a preponderance of evidence, but it doesn't prove anything, and I need to see it for myself. Yeah. Or you can kind of be all the way on the right and say, I don't believe anything because I just don't believe anything. Or I guess the fifth one is you saw something yourself, and so therefore maybe you're not part of the other four groups. But those are the four groups you can be in, and faith. I just don't think faith is you don't need faith in science. That's not what science is about.
Unless of course they are shape shifting.
Yes.
Bunnies.
Yes. In which case we're screwed.
Yeah.
Throw that whole thing out the window. In which case, yeah. So I wanted to just.
We could equate the search for perhaps that of the Billy Ape, that people talked about it, people said they'd seen it, but you did not get a scientist come out saying we know they exist until they could prove that they existed.
Right.
But I'm sure there are scientists that perhaps even seen them with their own eyes, but they needed to be able to prove that they existed before they said there's these 6-foot-tall apes out there.
Right. Which, clearly that's the situation today. There are scientists out there who accept that there's something making all the footprints, that accept that there's probably something out there. Many of them, some of them, may even have seen something for themselves, but they won't say anything because they're afraid for their reputation, and they're afraid for all the reasons that people don't talk about stuff like that. Which is interesting. Ian Redman, who was on the Definitive Guide to Bigfoot, I don't know exactly what his position is, but I'm going to find out, because one of the interesting things that I want to talk about on today's show is that Ian Redman is coming to speak at the TBRC conference in October down in Tyler, Texas. Yeah, that should be very interesting.
Yeah.
What I like about him is he's not sort of like your typical Bigfoot guy, right? Clearly, he's got a standing. He's an expert in primates and gorillas, but he's not necessarily a Bigfoot type person that you would normally see on the circuit of Bigfoot, events. But he's a good example. I mean, clearly he is interested enough in the subject that he will be on a TV show about it. He will come to a conference in Texas, which is a long way from home, and talk about it. So clearly there's enough there for someone like him.
Yeah.
Presuming he's not coming here just to tell us we're all a bunch of idiots. That's entirely possible.
It's either that or like me, he really likes the food in Texas, and that's a good enough reason to go.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is quite tasty, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, man, the barbecue. All right. Well, I'm going to try calling Scott one more time here. I don't know if he's in a spot where we can get him, but why not? Let's just give it a shot. Do-do-do. Spinning. We need some hold music. If Scott was here, he'd be doing his little game show music. It's ringing.
This Skype interface really does suck, doesn't it?
It's horrible. It used to be somewhat clear. Now it's just a nightmare.
I've just got two big things on the screen in front of me. It's almost like using a Mac.
I am not in right now, so please leave a message back as soon as I can. Thanks.
He's still not in.
Wherever,
yeah. He's probably,
given where he's supposed to be, the idea that he's suddenly not on the Appalachian Trail when that's where he is makes me wonder whether he's in a Bangkok brothel or something.
I was talking to him earlier. I'm unclear about his schedule. It seems like he's jetting around a lot. He was in California, and he's on the trail, and he's back in California, and now he's on the trail again.
You see, the proper AT enthusiasts, they won't count that as a proper AT hike if you've been jetting backwards and forwards to it.
Well, I wish you've had.
You've got to do the whole slog.
See, now we should get him back. We're going to get him on just so you can basically accuse him of not doing it the right way.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, I walked a section of the trail in when was it, 2001. Hmm. I hiked a section of the trail, and it was very interesting in that while I was climbing up Bear Mountain in New York, spotted a deer, thought, I've got my camera right here in front of me. I'll take a photo of it. I had it in the viewfinder. By the time I had pressed the button, it had gone.
Hmm, yeah.
And I can't help thinking when people say, well, there should be more photos of Bigfoot, I can't even take a photo of a deer that I know is in front of me.
Yeah. Oh, totally. The only people who are criticizing us for not having more photos, well, you saw it, why don't you take a picture, are people who don't ever see wild animals, because you see a wild animal, and if you're lucky, you see it for a few seconds. I took video last time we were up here at the cabin of a moose running down the side of the road, only because the moose was stupid enough to stay on the side of the road for like 2 minutes, right? It's the other reason I could, because I had to get my phone, I had to turn it, you know, get the camera app going. It just takes forever. And
I mean, let's be honest. Any animal that with that much meat on it that just stays standing still in a country where people have guns, it's a stupid animal.
And this moose, for whatever reason, he just ran along the road. He did not get off the road. The deer. No, you're not going to get a picture of a deer. Once you make a move, once he sees you. If you make any kind of move, he's going to take off. Which is not to say there aren't pictures of deer. Obviously there are, but there are presumably massively more deer than there are Bigfoot in the world. So,
the Appalachian Trail is one of my targets before I die.
Yeah.
To hike the AT. I did a small section of it, so I figure I'm averaging 1 mile a year.
How long is it? How many miles is the
trail? It's two. Oh, I should
it's
look
a
it
long
up.
It's about, ways.
It's about 2,500 miles.
Yeah, so I don't think you're going to make it.
It's if anybody is interested in the AT, Bill Bryson's A Walk in the Woods book is well worth reading. It's a very funny book on the subject. It's a fantastic book anyway, but it demonstrates just how difficult it is to hike the Appalachian Trail. And I think Bryson gave up after about 7 weeks.
Wow.
They came to a natural sort of stop where they could hike off the trail, which they tend to do every week, and go and spend the night in a motel and get a shower. And they're at this sort of visitor center that had the entire Appalachian Trail marked out along the wall from the start in Georgia to its finish in New England. Hmm. And they could see where they were, and they just looked at this and said, we've done nothing. And that's the point. Let's go home.
Well, here's on that note, here's what I want to do with the show now. We've had a nice conversation. I want to call this. I want to put this one in the can. I got criticized for using that euphemism on the Facebook wall the other day. Like it was, anyway.
It's, it's,
We'll put this one to bed. There's no cans involved. And we're not taping either, even though we say we are. Let's put this one to bed. Since February since we had a show. Let's try to do one not 4 or 5 months later. Let's try to do one as soon as we can get Scott on. We can hear he's got a great story from someone he got from the trail, someone who thinks they saw a Bigfoot. We can get an update from him. So let's put this one to bed, and then let's keep working with Scott to do another one as quickly as possible to kind of get up to speed with where he is. And
before we do that, we should give a mention to Eric S. Brown.
Bigfoot
War Book. Eric S. Brown. You can find links to his books on Amazon from the Facebook page. I've read his first book. I'm about a third of the way through the second book. They are well worth reading.
Which is the first one?
Bigfoot War.
The first one.
Bigfoot the first one. One is called Bigfoot War.
Okay.
It's not his first book, but it's the first one on the Bigfoot subject. And it's just an all-out, forget everything you've learned about Bigfoot. These are horror movie Bigfoots. It's fantastic. Lots of blood and gore and bad language. And it's terrific. It's not a particularly long book, but it's well worth reading. And his second one is very interesting, sort of Bigfoot versus zombies, if you like.
Sure.
Just
zombies.
All...
Zombies versus Bigfoot.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It is well worth reading. Go and buy the books; they're very cheap. I think he's got a special on now of the first book. I think over the weekend he had it on Amazon at 99 cents.
Wow.
Very cheap, but well worth reading. It's the most fun you'll have with a Bigfoot book.
That's good.
Too. But yeah, let's quit while we're ahead.
Well, no, you plugged. I'm gonna plug. I already brought it up. I'm gonna bring it up again. The TBRC conference, which I will be the master of ceremonies, is on October 1st this year in Tyler, Texas. So you can go to texasbigfoot.com and check that out. And also the TBRC, I was instrumental in helping the TBRC put together an iPhone app for their organization. So you can get that too at texasbigfoot.com. So there, I got my two plugs.
And can you use that in the woods to locate Bigfoot?
If you have a cell phone, yeah, you can actually. I don't know if it'll help you find Bigfoot. That would be pretty cool. That would be fun. A little Bigfoot detector. So as you sweep it around, it would like beep faster if there's a Bigfoot behind a tree or something.
I think you could do that.
I could totally. I'm going to make that separately. What it'll do is it'll show you like sightings near you if you are in the forest state area that the TBRC covers. It'll sort of zoom in on your location and show you sightings near your location.
Presumably, they've built some inaccuracy into those locations.
Because
there are obviously situations where you wouldn't want somebody just blindly following your iPhone to turn up on somebody's back porch.
The truth is, it's some of the locations are very precise. You know, if they were like across the road here, but some of the locations are somewhat vague, even in the database, because you are in fact protecting the location of a witness's house or something like that. So that's a good point. You get sort of a general idea of where they are. We're not going to pinpoint, you know, the person's back porch especially if they didn't want to be pinpointed. So that's a good.
But point. I think a Bigfoot finding app, a Finding Bigfoot app.
Yes.
With little radar and beeps and. Fake thermal imagery.
Yeah, remember?
Would be fantastic. I used to have an app many, many years ago on Windows 3.1. I had two apps that I loved that sat in the corner. One was an Elvis app. And whenever Elvis was in the building, it would start flashing.
Nice.
Which was very good. The other one was a PMT detector. And PMS.
PMS. Oh, great. Yes. You're going to get us in trouble now.
and when it was certain time of the month, it would start turning from green to amber to red, just to warn me to watch what I was doing.
Yeah.
And not to upset her.
Not to, yeah.
That was a terrific app. Anyway, a Bigfoot app that would just flash when there's one right behind me so I could find it.
You could sort of, you remember, Return to
Bug. And you could tie it into the camera app.
Yeah.
So it takes photos, and obviously, if there's a real Bigfoot there, it'll take a photo of the real Bigfoot. But
it could insert a Bigfoot into the photo, right? You could sort of...
If you need to.
Yeah, you could decide, well, he was here, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this fake one in as a stand-in.
Yeah.
Do you remember the shot from the scene from Return to Boggy Creek when they're in the little camper and they have like the radar and that they can track it getting closer to their camper?
Yes.
It would be kind of like that. All right. On that, I almost ended the show like an episode of Top Gear. On that bombshell.
On that bombshell. We should just before we go, we should just mention
just
the Gimlin film.
No.
We can't do a show without it. And that's it. Let's go. See ya.
All right, fine. We're done.
Keep your dial set here for news and music.
KISD.
Sioux Falls.
KISD.
Sioux Falls.
KISD.
1, 2, 3 on your dial.